Welcome back. We're going to continue here in 2 Corinthians. Paul says in chapter 12 and verse 13, "For what is it wherein you are inferior to other churches, except it be that I myself was not burdensome to you? Forgive me this wrong. Behold, the third time I am ready to come to you, and I will not be burdensome to you, for I seek not yours, but you. For the children ought not to lay up for the parents, but the parents for the children." Of course, a reference back to the law there from Paul. "And I will very gladly spend and be spent for you, though the more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved. But be it so, I did not burden you. Nevertheless, being crafty, I caught you with guile. Did I make a gain of you by any of them whom I sent unto you? I desired Titus, and with him I sent a brother. Did Titus make a gain of you? Walked we not in the same spirit? Walked we not in the same steps? Again, think ye that we excuse ourselves unto you? We speak before God in Christ, but we do all things, dearly beloved, for your edifying. For I fear, lest when I come, I shall not find you such as I would, and that I shall be found unto you such as you would not, lest there be debates, envyings, wrath, strifes, backbiting, whispering, swellings, and tumults. And lest when I come unto you, come again, my God will humble me among you, and that I shall bewail many which have sinned already and have not repented of the uncleanness and fornication and lasciviousness which they have committed." Chapter 13. "This is the third time I am coming to you. In the month, in the mouth of two or three witnesses shall every word be established. I told you before, and foretell you as if I were present for the second time, and being absent now, I write to them which henceforth have sinned, and to all others that if I come again, I will not spare. Since you seek a proof of Christ speaking in me, which to you word is not weak, but is mighty in you. For though he was crucified through weakness, yet he liveth by the power of God. For we also are weak in him, but we shall live with him by the power of God toward you. Examine yourselves, whether you be in the faith, prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobates? But I trust that you shall know that we are not reprobates. Now I pray to God that you do no evil, not that we should appear approved, but that you should do that which is honest, though we be as reprobates. For we can do nothing against the truth, but for the truth. For we are glad when we are weak, and you are strong. And this also we wish, even your perfection. Therefore I write these things, being absent, lest being present, I should use sharpness, according to the power which the Lord hath given me, to edification, and not to destruction. Finally, brethren, farewell, be perfect, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace shall be with you. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the saints salute you. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen." And thus Paul ends his second letter to the Corinthians. Most of the letter concerning those who had come in and disputing the teachings of Paul, calling themselves Hebrews, calling themselves the sons of Abraham, however, not suffering for the gospel, but being benefited by preaching amongst the Corinthians. The Corinthians not standing up for Paul, not standing up for his defense, but being beguiled by the subtlety of the words of these false teachers who are preaching another Jesus. And Paul, of course, chastising them in his letter for falling so easily, for not putting up defense for him, because and proclaiming that he has paid the price, that he required nothing of them, but he gave all. And the false teachers who are speaking against him have given nothing for them, but just to beguile him and to beguile them and to supplant their faith with a false faith, a false Jesus. And the world is full of false preachers, men dressed in nice apparel, men who have never suffered anything in their lives, men who have never gone without, men who have never accepted poverty for the gospel, said, I will preach, though I go hungry, but men who see an opportunity to benefit. And so they do benefit. Just look around at the ministries around you today, preaching another Jesus. And they preach it for the benefits that are offered, well, by the state, basically. Most of them, accepting benefits and privileges from the state in the form of tax-deductible donations by which they can become rich. And the temptation is there. I know it was there for me when I turned to ministry, when I felt the calling in my life. When you feel the calling, when the Heavenly Father calls a man to minister, to ministry, there's a whole slew of temptations that come with it. And those temptations, get advice, or you tell someone, go to your local church, perhaps confess to one of the elders or one of the men of faith or teachers, preachers, pastors there that you feel called to the ministry. It's a normal thing to do. I feel called. What do I do? And they'll say, well, what do you feel that God's calling you to do? So you might explain your ministry. And they say, well, in that case, you need to set up a not-for-profit corporation like I did or like the church. See, and that's called a temptation. And many men fall for it innocently, and they say, oh, well, I don't know how to do that. I don't know anything about law. Can you get someone to help me? Oh, yeah, you know, we got a member over there in the first row. See the guy in a nice suit, ties, comes every week, and he ties, and he's a lawyer. He'll help you out. And so they get you in touch, and the lawyer said, don't worry about a thing. Don't worry about a thing. Don't question a thing. I'll take care of it for you, and this is how much it's going to cost you. So, God's calling me. I guess I got to give this guy the money so I can go ahead in ministry. And so many people enter into it quite innocently. Why? Well, because they didn't question. Because they didn't look well into their ways. They didn't consider. They just let someone else handle it for them. They received, blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. But, well, the guy goes to my church. It must be godly counsel. What he's giving you isn't godly counsel. It's counsel of the world. Godly counsel comes from the Word of God. Nowhere in the Word of God does it say, thou shalt incorporate if you want to serve me. I read the man said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord after we get our 501c3 incorporated status. No, it's not in there. It's not the counsel of godliness. Just because it's coming from someone who attends a church and is perceived as a godly man, doesn't mean it's godly counsel, because godly counsel comes from the Word of God. If it doesn't come from the Word of God, it's not godly counsel, and you're walking in ungodly counsel. Remember, blessed is a man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. So we're not to receive that ungodly counsel, no matter where it comes from. That's right. No matter where it comes from. We are to take every thought captive. This is, it's an imagination, isn't it? Isn't it one of those imaginations that exalt itself against the knowledge of God? I have to look to the state for benefits, and the benefits that the state is going to give me is, that was what they told me. And then you can get tax deductible donations to help your ministry, to help you do the work of God. God needs tax deductible donations from the state. God needs the benefit of the state. Yes. That's called temptation. And fortunately, well, I kind of fell for it, but I didn't. Because I thought, okay, this character, they told me they didn't introduce me to a lawyer. But they might in many instances. They said, well, you got to get a lawyer and set up 501c corporation. Well, I had used Nolo Press before, so I got the how to set up your not-for-profit tax, you know, deductible corporation book from Nolo Press. And I started to read it. And what I read in the pages, I soon quickly realized that I couldn't do it because it was ungodly counsel. It went against the word of God. And I said, I can't do this. I can't do this for benefits of the state. I can't do it for tax deductible donations. Well, your ministry's never going to be anything. It's never going to get big and you're going to get all kinds of money. It's not going to happen. You know, where all the visions of grandeur are gone, how God was going to use me but I was looking for God to use me, but I think a lot of people are looking at what they're going to do for God. So they got it turned around. It's what I did. It goes to what the Messiah said. He said, many will stand before me in that day and they will proclaim, didn't I do great things in your name? Didn't I cast out devils? Didn't I heal the sick in your name? And it's all about what they did for God and their great ministry. And I can't judge other people, but I could never call it Nicholas Arthur Ministries. It's not my ministry. It's his. The work that I do is his work. He gives it to me to do. If he didn't give it to me to do, then I would only be doing my works. It's nothing. I want to serve him. He's my master. I do what he says. He is the boss. It's his ministry, not mine. I don't want to stand before him that day wondering what went wrong. How did I get it so backwards? And so that's where the temptations begin when you go into ministry. And that's one of them. What you're going to do for God and how are you going to fund it? Because if it is his, he doesn't need tax deductible donations. He doesn't need it to become great, big, humongous thing. Subtly different. Subtly preaching another gospel and another Jesus. So we need to examine everything. Bring every thought, every imagination captive. We need to judge everything according to his word and not receive the counsel of the ungodly, especially in ministry. There is nothing more important in this life than that we cross the border into his kingdom. And as the scripture says, that we endure. He who endures to the end shall be saved. We must endure in his kingdom to the end of our mortality. And if we are in his kingdom, then we will be in his kingdom forever. And if we are not in his kingdom, when our mortality ends, then we will not be in his kingdom forever. This is the gospel of the kingdom. I have my unique way of verbalizing it, of illustrating it, and cross the border into the kingdom of God. But it is the gospel of the kingdom. It is the gospel which my master preached, and he said, repent, for the kingdom is at hand. Without repentance, there is no forgiveness. It is only through repentance that we can enter into his kingdom. Yahshua demonstrated that repentance is more than sorrow for your sins. Yes, sorrow is the emotion that accompanies true repentance, but the sorrow in itself is not repentance. That's the other gospel. That's the other Jesus, where you just feel sorry and you're forgiven, but then you go on as if nothing happened and you get to go to heaven when you die, as long as you're sorry for your sins, as long as you repent. And so, like I said, they've relegated repentance to mere sorrow, emotion. But Yahshua, he illustrated it so thoroughly and so completely that no one should fall for the false repentance or the repentance of sorrow alone. But he said, if your hand causes you to sin, you know, do that which you've repented from, which you have sorrow over, because it's not sin if there's no sorrow, right? It's sin, you sorrow, you repent. And if you continue in it, well, then he says, if your hand causes you to continue in that which you repented of or your sorrowed over, your sin, if your hand causes you to continue to fall in it, he said, cut it off. Now that's complete repentance. That's having the sorrow for your sin, which is a good godly thing, which is something you should have. You should feel that emotion, but you have to cut it off. It's very important because he said you won't enter into life without it. And we enter into life now when we cross the border into his kingdom. We sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. By his grace, our position is in heaven. That's the grace that came through Yahshua the Messiah. Certainly we all had grace in that we were born and we get to live and we have an opportunity to repent. But once we repent, the grace that came through Jesus Christ allows us to enter in as if to boldly go before the throne of God, as if we had already been planted in the ground, to use his illustration of the seed being planted in the ground. We have a position in heaven now, though we don't realize it completely because we're still in this mortal flesh. So there's nothing more important. Complete repentance. That's the gospel that he preached. Yes, sorrow for your sin, and then that godly sorrow worketh repentance, meaning you cut it off. If your hand causes you to sin, you cut it off and cast it from you because it's better to enter into life than your whole body and soul. It's better to enter into life without a hand than your whole body and soul be cast into hell. And entering into life isn't going to heaven when you die, because there's no going to be no maimed people in heaven. He said it would be better to enter into life blind. And he's talking about entering into the kingdom of God, because that is life. That's where life is found. If you're not in his kingdom, you're dead. And if you're not in his kingdom, if you don't endure in his kingdom to the end of your mortality, there's no hope for you, because you will not be in his kingdom forever. The illustrations are clear. Repentance is more than sorrow. Yes, that's where it begins, sorrow for your sin. But complete repentance is a sorrow that worketh righteousness. And what is righteousness? It is doing that which is right by putting off that which is wrong, that which is against his law. So please, you know, I beg you, cross the border into his kingdom and obtain eternal life. There is absolutely nothing more important in this life than that you do that. Well, that's all I have for today. So I'm going to leave you with a little bit of music here as soon as I find some to put on. Well, remember, as always, in everything you say and in everything you do, bless his holy name. Hallelujah.